The first reading is taken from Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 and 13 to 25, and can be found on page 1171 of the Church Bibles. Freedom in Christ. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Life by the Spirit. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
So the reading is taken from Luke chapter 9, verse 51 to the end.
Can be found on page 1040 of the Church Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He sent messengers on ahead, who went to a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him, because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." And Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God."
When I use the word fruit, what comes into your mind? Is it your favourite fruit? Is it the fruit that you regularly buy from the supermarket or greengrocer? Is it the more exotic fruit that we are encouraged to eat for our own health? If you look at a fruit tree in the winter or spring, perhaps in your garden or on an allotment, you can tell by looking at it what fruit it will bring forth in the summer. You can tell the type of tree by the fruit that grows on it. I will come back to thinking about fruit later on. Let's look at some of the verses in the gospel passage you've just heard from Luke chapter 9. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He sets out resolutely. I wonder when we set out to travel somewhere, whether we are sometimes in two minds about it, or whether we also are resolute. As a country, we've voted in the referendum to leave the European Union, but we now need to be resolute. The decision has been taken, and the government needs to take the steps necessary to leave the European Union. As we've been told during the run-up to the vote, there's no turning back. Once the decision has been made, we have to make the best of it and move forward, not looking back on what might have been, whether or not we agree with the majority decision. It is clear that the United Kingdom will not be the same following this vote, but we cannot yet be sure what exactly the result will be, politically, financially, for jobs and employment, or for immigration. This will work itself out in the coming weeks and months, even years. Jesus, who sent messengers on ahead to prepare for his journey, found that he was not welcome on his journey. The people of Samaria were unhappy because he was travelling through Samaria to Jerusalem, and they did not accept Jerusalem as their worship centre. The disciples wanted to exact retribution on the people of Samaria, much like there have been repercussions and blame amongst the population of the United Kingdom following the result of the vote. Those areas of the UK which voted to stay in the EU, London, Scotland, Northern Ireland, are unhappy that they were outvoted by the majority of the other areas of England and Wales. There's talk of another referendum in Scotland on leaving the UK and continuing as a member of the EU, and in Ireland of the possibility of Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland joining together to continue to be members of the EU. Only time will tell. As I said 4 weeks ago, God works for good in his world. He will continue to work for good, despite the decisions and actions of mankind. We need to keep trusting in him, being resolute in our faith, and following him. As Jody said, we must pray for those affected by this decision and continue to show God's love to them. For Jesus, time was limited. He had set his face on the end of his mission on earth. He knew what would happen, but the disciples did not. Jesus said to the men who he asked to follow him that they needed to ignore their personal and family needs if they had decided to follow him, and also to be resolute in following him. When we read the parables of Jesus, we need to put ourselves back into the time when he was on earth. Some of the historical reconstruction programs that have been on the television give us an inkling of what it was like to be a farmer. One program from Morwellam Quay in Devon on the banks of the Tamar, and the other from the Weald and Downland Museum in Sussex. One thing I remember from them relates to using a horse-drawn plough. It's important to keep looking forwards in order to plough a straight furrow. If we turn round to see the furrows that we've created, we will inevitably find that the plough changes direction because we've taken our eyes off the way ahead, and this results in a poorly ploughed field. The theme of this morning's service is don't look back. And when we become Christians, it is important, as it is for the farmer with a horse-drawn plough, and for those in the reading from Luke's Gospel, not to look back on our lives before we became Christians, but to look forward and live our lives with a straight furrow, using Jesus' teaching to guide the way in which we live our lives. Turning now to the reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians, who were Christians in Asia Minor, which is now Turkey, and asking to join the European Union. The Holy Spirit of Jesus is a gift from God, and he in turn has many gifts to give us. If we reject or ignore these gifts, we insult God the Holy Spirit and can damage both ourselves and others. Most of these gifts are not designed to benefit ourselves, but are the tools for us to help other people. When we use these gifts, we are showing most clearly the reality of the Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus always used ordinary people, like ourselves, through whom his Spirit could express his gifts and love. We must not think that we are too ordinary to use the gifts he has given us to work for the extension of the kingdom of God on earth. Imagine a Christian who's arrived at the gates of heaven. He's warmly greeted by the Archangel Gabriel, who offers him a personally guided tour around the vastness of heaven. The first building they visited was an enormous aircraft hangar lined with narrow shelves. Each shelf was filled with neatly wrapped presents, all addressed to the new arrival. "What's this then?" inquired the Christian. "Oh, those," replied Gabriel. "They're all the gifts which God had for you to use on earth, which you never bothered to claim." There can be no more tragic obituary than he ignored God's gifts and so failed to serve as he could have done. This is only a story, but there's a lot of truth in it for us. What are these gifts? In the New Testament, the Bible mentions 27, which are part of the life, ministry, and spiritual equipment of the local church. I'm going to mention these 27. The discerning of spirits, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, prophecy, speaking in tongues, the interpretation of tongues, healing, faith, miracles, service, teaching, motivation, giving, leadership, mercy, apostle, hospitality, celibacy, administration, exorcism, evangelism, pastoral guidance, missionary, being willing to face martyrdom, helping, intercession, and encouragement. I'm sure that there are other gifts which we know that God has given to us to use in his service. I know that I've been given the gift of music, so that through music I can contribute to the worship of the church. Each of us is individual and different in God's sight, so he equips us with different gifts. There's such a variety to choose from, that list and many more. Most of us are not limited to just one. If you can only identify one of these in your life, then maybe you have been given it in abundance. The gifts are given by God to enable the members of the church, the body of Christ, to function properly, to enable the active participation of all the members of the body of Christ. They represent God's bounty and are designed to demonstrate within the body of Christ, his church, the beauty of God. When we use the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we can expect to bring forth the fruit that is mentioned in the Galatians passage. There are 9 listed there in 3 groups of 3. Love, joy, and peace. Forbearance, kindness, and goodness. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'll say those again. Love, joy, peace. Forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You will notice that Paul describes them as the fruit, not the fruits. When we become Christians and are filled with the Holy Spirit, we must expect our behaviour and our attitude towards other people to change, to be more like God wants us to be, thus showing the fruit of our lives in following Jesus. Remember, as I said at the beginning, a tree is known by its fruit. We as Christians should show what type of tree we are. We demonstrate this in the way that other people see us. They should see that we are more loving, more joyful, more at peace with one another, more forbearing, kinder, showing goodness, being faithful to God and to our promises, more gentle in the way in which we treat one another, and more self-controlled. In short, Paul summarizes this by saying, love your neighbor as yourself. We do not need to look back at the list of bad traits in verses 19 to 21 of Galatians chapter 5. We should have turned our back on them. If we find any of them in our lives, then we need to repent of this sinfulness and concentrate on bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit in verses 22 and 23. As we continue to follow our Lord Jesus and be guided by his indwelling Spirit, we should examine ourselves from time to time to check that the fruit is continuing to grow. If there are areas in this list where we feel we fall short of God's expectation of us as his followers, then we should work on those areas to become more like Jesus in the way in which we live our life and the attitudes that we show. You may find it helpful to memorize the 9 fruit of the Spirit so that you can carry out a personal check from time to time. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Other people should, hopefully, be able to see that our attitudes are changing, and that they can see the life of Jesus shining through us. In summary, then, as Christians, we should not look back on where we've come from, but continue to look forward, examining ourselves as we go forward to ensure that we're becoming more like Jesus and asking him to fill us afresh with his Spirit so that we can use the gifts that he has given us and show forth the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. I pray that this is true for each one of us.